Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus, I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and God love you, and God prepare you for the days to come. Praise the Lord. Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name to do just that today, Lord. Manifest your grace towards us in giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, grant us your grace, Lord, to run after you. Like the Shulamite said, draw us, we will run after thee. That's what we desire, Lord. You to put it in our hearts. Put that eager enthusiasm in our hearts to know your word, to know what it is to walk in your steps, Lord, to be your disciples. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Well, some of you that have been studying with us for a while know that I shared a revelation that the Lord shared with me many, many years ago concerning a repetition of history. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15, that which hath been long ago, and that which is to be hath long ago been. And God seeketh again that which is passed away. That which is to be hath long ago been. And God seeks again that which is passed away. We're about to repeat history. We're about to go through another cycle here. I shared with you that the Lord spoke to me that everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts was going to repeat in our day, except the cast of characters will be multiplied many times over. In other words, every time history repeats, it repeats with larger groups of people. Now, we know Jesus came as the man-child in his day. He came to follow up and to teach and to lead God's people out of bondage to the harlot of his day and the beast kingdom of his day. And his teaching was to the called out ones, which is the word church. It means called out ones. So his words and his teachings were calling the people out of what? Well, out of a false leadership. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, these people were leading God's people astray. They did not recognize the people who submitted totally to these men, and these men did not recognize the Christ when he stood in their midst. And it's going to be that way in our day too, folks, because as we're seeing, history repeats. And in John 16, Jesus said that we would see him again as a man-child born to a woman in travail. And he was, of course, describing the woman in Revelation chapter 12 who brings forth the man-child there. Now, that man-child ministry is about to start, and it wouldn't surprise you to know that that man-child ministry is going to be just like the first man-child ministry, because to believe in Jesus is to walk in his steps, right? And to abide in him, according to 1 John, is to walk as he walked. I'd like to share something that Jesus shared with you. I want to talk to you about this Pharisee ministry that gave way to the man-child ministry, this Eli ministry that gave way to the man-child ministry, and the Saul ministry that gave way to the David ministry, which is the man-child ministry. I'd like to look at a few types here, and we can see what's happening right now, what's happening today. We can, we can read the newspapers today, and they're right here in the Bible. Well, I'd like to share something that Jesus shared because it would be applicable in our day, the man-child sharing this with the New Testament spiritual Israel, Because as you know, the first man-child in the New Testament, Jesus, came to was a natural man-child. He was a born Jew, and he came to natural Israel. He came first to the lost sheep of natural Israel. But the way this is going to be repeated in our day, as the Lord shared with me, is the man-child that's coming is going to be a man-child of spiritual Israel to lead spiritual Israel out of bondage, just as Jesus came and led natural, a remnant of natural Israel out of bondage. But think about what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him. That's interesting. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus today, right? They say they believe in Jesus today. So he was speaking to those Jews that believed him, and he said, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. See, we're missing something today in the modern churches, and that is discipleship. It's in the modern churches, it's accept Jesus. It's kind of step over a line and you're in, you know, and you really don't have to do anything. And really, if you have any sin problem, that's not a problem either, you know, because you really don't, you're not saved by works, according to them. So therefore, you don't have to worry about a thing. You're in, you know. But Jesus said to these people who did believe him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. In other words, there's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but they're not disciples. Do you think they have eternal life? No, they don't have eternal life. And because Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And the word for disciple, a mathetes, is a learner and a follower. This is someone who is studying the master, somebody who's following in his steps, somebody who's learning what it is to be Christian. You see? Now, Jesus didn't make Christians. There's no verse in there that the Bible says that. He was making disciples. And he made conditions. He put conditions on discipleship of the people who were following him, of the people who were listening, of the people who were believing. So out of these people that believed in him, today all you have to do is believe in Jesus with these churches. It's an easy believism. No conditions whatsoever. Jesus put conditions on discipleship. And here's one of them. If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? You know, the Bible says in 2 John 9, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. Those who abide in the teaching have both the Father and the Son. Whosoever goeth onward. He didn't say who started out with you, but who continued with you and continued to abide in the teaching of Christ. Right? So he's saying the same thing to these people that believed in him, that if his words would abide in them, they would truly be his disciples. There are many people that are not disciples of Christ, and we're about to see a great falling away because of that. Many people followed the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Zealots in Jesus' day and didn't follow him. But those that he, Jesus said, he that's of God hears the words of God. That remnant among them who had the gift and calling of God, the gift of true faith, they followed him out. And so, what Jesus, remember that Jesus is speaking to the people, quote, that had believed him. So he put this condition on, and I'm going to read on. He says, And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those people who believe him, who abide in his word, they will know the truth, and the truth will make them free. Well, you can imagine what they said. They answered unto him, we're Abraham's seed, and we've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? You know, a lot of people today, if the man-child comes and preaches this same message, just think about it, quoting Jesus, what kind of reaction would this ministry get out of the people, out of the overwhelming majority of Christianity who's been raised up under a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees today? What kind of reaction would they get? What do you mean, set free? I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. What are you talking about, being set free? Right? We're Abraham's seed. What does it mean to be Abraham's seed, by the way? Well, in Romans chapter 4, it says, let me read this to you, verse 16, for this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all of the seed. That's all of the seed of the elect, all of the seed of the remnant, right? Not to that which is only of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, this is speaking, of course, to the Roman church. This is an overwhelmingly Gentile church that he's speaking to. And he says that Abraham is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, the father of many nations, which is also the word for Gentiles, have I made thee. So Abraham was the father of what? The people who had faith, which is of the faith of Abraham. The people who had faith, the people who believed the promise, that the promise may be sure to all the seed. The people that believe the promises of God, the people who have faith, these are the seed of Abraham. Well, what is it that we're supposed to believe? Well, as Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. Suppose, for instance, you believe in religion, their ideas of the word. Well, that's not the seed. That's not the seed that's born from above, is it? You know, if we're going to be born of the Father, it has to be the seed that came down out of heaven. It can't be another man's seed. It can't be the seed of the Pharisees. That didn't work. As we read on, we'll see that. That didn't work. That couldn't bring forth Christians. In fact, the people that they brought forth couldn't even recognize Christ. Is it the same today? Yes, it's the same today. When the man-child ministry comes, the same exact thing's going to happen. History is going to repeat. The people who consider themselves sons of Abraham are not going to recognize that they must abide in his word to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let me read on here in John chapter 8 again. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, every one, that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever. Do you understand that abiding in the Word will set you free, according to what Jesus said? They didn't believe there was a possibility of being set free from sin. Most of the church today doesn't believe there's a possibility of being set free from sin. Jesus said if you abide in his word, you would be set free from sin. And that those people who were in bondage to sin would not abide in the house forever. Wow. That must mean the word has the ability to set free from sin. And most of the church, just like most of the Jews, didn't know that. That's very interesting. Wonder why they'll fall away. Wonder why there's going to be a great falling away. They don't believe in the power of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Verse 36, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And how does he do that? By you abiding in his word. That's what he said. Okay. I mean, the Son didn't set you free when you first stepped into the kingdom. He set your spirit free. Now he wants to set your soul free. He wants to sanctify you in your soul. He wants to crucify the old soul life, right? I know that you are Abraham's seed, that is in the letter, right? In the natural, these people were sons of Abraham. They couldn't imagine them not being saved. Hey, all you had to do to be saved is to be born a Jew and to have the covenant, right? And so, is it the same way today? Some people think all I have to do is be born again. All I have to do is accept Jesus as my Savior. Does that make you a shoe-in in the kingdom? No, it doesn't. Not at all. That's a lie. Just as it was a lie to these people. They had the same idea. They had unconditional eternal security. Because they were Jews. But there are other people who are not abiding in his word. They call themselves Christians. They are not disciples, learners and followers of Christ, because he said you had to abide in his word to be a disciple. And they're in bondage to sin. And he says, They won't abide in the house forever. Oh, we need to be careful, folks. If you're buying into that garbage from the church, believe me, there won't be any reason for you to accept the man-child ministry when it comes. They're coming to restore the doctrine of the truth of the word, which is the only thing that'll set free. It's the only seed of God that creates Christians. Okay. The rest are just following the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? I know that you are Abraham's seed, yet you seek to kill me because my word hath not free course in you. And again, folks, the same thing's going to happen. These people that are coming to teach the pure word of God are going to be heretics to these people who don't want to lose their life and don't want to abide in that word and want to give all kind of excuses why it all passed away and they don't have to abide in it anymore. They're not the seed of God. They're the seed of the Pharisees. Verse 38, I speak the things which I have seen with my father, and you also do the things which you heard from your father. Well, now, wait a minute. These were Jews. They knew they were the chosen people of God. They knew they were the kingdom people. They knew they were the ones with the covenant. Is it the same today? Is there some people today that believe that they're chosen of God? Members of the new covenant. Yet they're not going to abide in the house forever. Yes, exactly the same. Verse 38. And they answered and said unto him, Our father is Abraham. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. That's interesting. Was Jesus denying that they were Abraham's children? No, he knew they were Abraham's children in the flesh, in the natural, but that's not what counts in the New Testament. We just discovered you can only be Abraham's child if you walk by faith in the promises. Well, the overwhelming majority of the church nowadays, folks, denies the promises of God. You wonder why they're not bearing fruit unto the likeness of Jesus Christ. They deny the promises of God. The word, the seed, which is to bring, to beget them unto the Father, to be born from above, they reject. Now, they accept the seed of their religion, but they reject the seed that comes from God. And Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, if you are of the seed of God, it's because you do the works of God. If you are of the seed of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, according to Matthew 13, then you do the works, because that seed brings forth its fruit, right? If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Suppose we said that to Christians nowadays. If you're Abraham's children, because you have faith in the promises, according to Romans chapter 4, then you will do the works of Abraham. If you abide in Christ, which is the only place salvation is, folks, the Bible says that God's given to us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. Therefore, the only place you can have that life is abiding in Him. See, some people think that God has given them a gift of eternal life. He's put it in their hand, and they can go anywhere with that. But no, God says He put that gift in His Son, and the only people that are going to be saved is His Son. No one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven. That's what Jesus said. You see, the Son of Man came out of heaven as the Word of God. And we are born from above when we accept that Word of God. Jesus said, The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. His words go into us and recreate His life and His spirit. And this is a continual thing. It's not a one-time step over the line accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, all which, quote, is not in the Bible anywhere. There's no such quote in the Bible. This is a lie. Sanctification is a process of separating you from the world unto Christ. And Jesus called it bearing fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Of what? The Word of God that came down out of heaven. So, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, these people were Jews, and they believed that they were the chosen, just like a lot of Christians today. They accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. They believe they're forever saved, but they're not doing the works. You know, Jesus said in John 14 and 12, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So, if you really believe on Jesus, if you're believing the promise in order to become Abraham's seed, then you're going to be doing the works of Jesus. You can't follow another religion. You have to follow the original one that was laid down here. Desire earnestly, seek earnestly for that which was originally given unto the saints. Right? Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Jesus demanded that they do the works of Abraham. Now, Abraham was a believer. He believed God. He walked by faith. He saw his fruit born in Isaac. The promised fruit was given to Abraham, who was not able to bring forth fruit on his own. Did you notice? And we can't either. None of us can bear fruit, the fruit of Christ, the fruit of the promised child. Right? We can't bear fruit on our own. It has to be the power of God that brought forth Abraham's fruit, and he had to believe in order for that to happen. Today they say you can believe and never bear fruit. So you don't have to bear fruit. That's works. Folks, it's God's works. It was only God's works that brought forth fruit unto Abraham. That's why we're Abraham's children. You see, is if we bring forth fruit that we can't bear naturally, it can only be born from him by his power through our faith. See, okay, well, he says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy by thy name? Didn't we cast out demons and by thy name do many mighty works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Well, now the people that don't believe in New Testament works, they of course say, well, that's because they were casting out demons and prophesying, and that's not legal today. That's utterly ridiculous, you know. What he's talking about is people who were doing the works of Jesus. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. But they weren't obeying Jesus in their own life. See, they were not being obedient personally. You know, it's not the gifts, folks, that makes us worthy of the kingdom of God. It's the fruit of Jesus Christ. So you can manifest the gifts and God will just accept whatever you offer to his people. Manifest any gift you God can give you. That's great, wonderful, but that won't get you in the kingdom. It's the fruit of the word that gets you in the kingdom. And also, 1 John 2, let me read this to you. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that doeth righteousness is born of him, is begotten of him. How can you be born of God and do iniquity? We're departing from this world. We're departing from wickedness and evil as we're being born of him. Now, your spirit is born of him in a moment, but your soul is not. Your soul is born of him as you receive this word, as Peter also said. Let me read that to you, and I'll come back and read another verse. Let's see. Chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been born again, begotten again, same word, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God. Corruptible seed is what you receive through men, their ideas about God. Their ideas, their little picking of verses here and verses there to make their doctrines fit and to make their religion right. That's a corruptible seed. But we have to be born of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. How much truth are you obeying? Well, you say, well, I'm obeying what I know, and that's good. You know, James chapter 4, you know, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So God imputes sin when you know something and you're not doing it. So as we walk in more and more truth, as we abide in more and more of his word, we're becoming more and more a disciple of Christ. And sin, according to what we just read in John chapter 8, is no longer exercising authority over us. Well, that's pretty neat. I like that. So You see, born again is more than born again spirit. It's a born again soul. But for your soul to be born again, it's because you're obeying more and more of the truth. Right? How about verse 7? My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Don't be deceived, is what he's saying. The people that do righteousness are righteous. Well, David, aren't we righteous by faith? Yes, but if you're righteous by faith, faith without works is dead. That's not your works. It's when your faith goes up to God that he does the work in you. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. When you believe the promises of God, you confess the promises of God, it's God that does the work in you. It's not you. He calls it ceasing from your works. That's what he calls it. He said, don't be deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. And in verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Obviously, God plans on doing his righteousness in his elect, and the rest will claim God but won't know God. These people believed in Jesus in John chapter 8, but for some reason, they weren't walking in his steps. And it can only mean one thing, and that is they do not believe the promises of God. We need to spend time in the Word, folks, to make sure we're believing the promise of God. That's where power over sin, power to walk in the steps of Jesus comes from. It doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. And so Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Once again, folks, I want to tell you, a lot of people calling themselves Christians are going to be the persecutors in these coming days. They're going to call heretics the people who believe exactly what the Bible says and speak exactly what the Bible says. But they've got their own doctrines. That passed away. We've got a new religion now. God doesn't do things that way anymore. Well, last I read in Hebrews 13, God called this an eternal covenant. And he said in Jude, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So you see, it's only the word that comes down from above, that's the incorruptible seed that will bring forth Christ in you, which is the only hope of glory, the Bible says. The only hope of glory is Christ in you, folks. He's the only one God's going to accept in heaven. He calls his people the body of Christ. Well, who lives in the body of Christ? Well, Christ does. Who is going to heaven? Christ is. There's no sin in him. When you sin, you step outside the body of Christ because there's no sin in him. Every sin that a man doth, the Bible says, is without the body. So if you continue to abide in sin, are you abiding in Christ? No. And by the way, where is salvation? Where is eternal life? 1 John 5 tells us that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So the people that say they can't be lost because they have eternal life while they walk in their sins are liars. They're just like these people Jesus was speaking to in that day. The man-child is going to speak to them in this day, and guess what? They're going to get the same word, and it's going to have the same effect. Because they believe, hey, we're sons of Abraham. We've been born again. We accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. Yes, but you're not abiding in His Word, and you're not a disciple, and you're in bondage to sin. Oh, yes, history is about to repeat. And let's see, verse 41. You do the works of your father. And they said unto him, we're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. Listen, folks. If God is your father, you love Jesus. Now, what did Jesus say about love? He said, the one that loves me will keep my commandments. If God is your father, you will keep his commandments. Why? Because you're born of God. His word lives in you. You believe it. You're not denying it. You're believing it. It's a part of you. It has power to cast out sin. You see? The Word of God doesn't come back void. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. He said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came forth and am come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father, it's your will to... Now he's still talking to these people that believed him. They believed him. Back in verse 31, he's still talking to these people. Jesus said to those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples. And now he's telling them, you're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father, it's your will to do. How can we tell we're born of God or born of this world? First of all, if you're not born of the word of God, then you're born of this world. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. You either receive the incorruptible word of God or you receive something else. But another seed cannot bring forth Jesus. Only the word of God can bring forth Jesus in you. So therefore, if you're believing a doctrine that's not backed up with this word, a teaching that's not backed up with this word, you've received another seed. You've got another Jesus. That's very dangerous because the only thing that can overcome sin and can cause you to love Jesus is for you to believe and keep his commandments. And the power to do that only comes from those that really believe the truth. The power comes from God. It's not our power. It's God's power. Some people, because they don't believe in God's power, they believe only in their own power, quickly will tell you, well, we can't be perfect. Well, yeah, but the point is moot. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yes, we can't be perfect, but this perfection that was accomplished by Jesus at the cross is given to us because of our faith. If you let some Pharisee talk you out of God's promises, you will not bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if you believe in him or not, you're not a son of Abraham. Very dangerous thinking, okay? He said, you're of your father the devil. Now, you could say that to an awful lot of Christians today, folks, because they're not born from above. They're not born of Christ because the word doesn't live in them. And if you speak the word to them, they'll deny it for their religion. And I want to tell you, it's obvious if you just look at them, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, and they aren't righteous because they don't do righteousness. And they are sons of their devil, sons of the devil. And the proof is in their actions. Not because of what they say, they accepted Jesus as Savior, they believe in Jesus. These people believed in Jesus. You're of your father the devil, and it's the lusts of your father, it's your will to do. That's what proves you're of the devil, is if you live in those lusts, right? He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth. There it is right there. How do you know you're of a seed of the devil? Because you don't stand in the truth. I tell you, not one jot or one tittle is going to pass away from God's law. It doesn't matter if you deny it. Doesn't matter if your religion denies it. You're held accountable to it because the Word of God is Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get Jesus into you than for you to accept that Word that comes down out of heaven. If you're going to be born from above, which is the literal Word in John chapter 3, verse 5, 3 and 3 and 3 and 5, born from above, you have to be born of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. No other thinking, no other doctrine can bring forth Christ. And he standeth not in the truth, and neither do his children, even though they go to church. Now, these people here were raised to believe that they were in the covenant. They were, of course, naturally Jews. And to tell them that they were sons of the devil, not sons of Abraham, was far from their thinking. And they didn't believe him. That's why they couldn't hear his words. They didn't believe him. And they won't believe him today because Jesus is coming again, according to Hosea 6, 2, and 3, on the morning of the third day at the latter rain. He's coming as the latter rain. Before he comes in the cloud, he's coming as the latter rain. And they won't believe him today. He's coming, he said, in John 16, as the man-child. He's coming born in the man-child. He's coming to speak to his people again. And other great ministries, the two witness ministry, you know, and the John the Baptist ministry. He's coming to speak to his people again. And they won't hear them either. They think that they are sons of Abraham and sons of God. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father thereof. So how do you get to be a son of the devil, raised up under Judaism, studying the Word, you know, and all those things? How do you get to be a son of the devil? Well, it's really pretty easy. It comes quite natural. You know, listen to what Matthew 23 and verse 15 says. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves." How is it that these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these hypocrites, these scribes, how is it they made people sons of hell? Because they sowed a doctrine and a teaching that was not the seed that comes out of heaven. And there's only one thing that can create a son of hell. How do people who are religious get to be sons of the devil? All they have to do is receive the seed of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of our day. All they got to do is do that. They'll be a son of the devil. History has to repeat, folks. The first time history doesn't repeat, the Word of God is wrong. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 tells us, let me read it to you. "Now these things happen unto them," that is the Jews, "by way of example," and the word example here is a type or shadow, "and they were written for our admonition." This is the Corinthians he's talking to. So he's talking to the Gentile church here. "And they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come." So what happens to the Jews? Happens to the church. The Jews had their man-child. The natural Jews had their natural man-child. The spiritual Jews are going to have their spiritual man-child. But first, that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. That's the law in 1 Corinthians 15. So you see, that parable that we look at back there in the Gospels is going to have a fulfillment in the church. And this same Jesus that came and preached this to them is coming to preach this to you and to me. And many people are going to be found to be other than what they think they are. They've been deceived. A strong delusion. See, verse 47, John 8:47. "He that is of God hears the words of God." He that is of God hears the words of God. You know, the Bible says, he that's from God speaks the word of God. We can speak nothing else. We cannot add to or take away anything. If anyone is sent from God, he speaks the word of God. That's what the Bible says, John 3:34. "Therefore, if they're speaking something that's adding to or taking away from the word, they're corrupting the seed. They're not making it possible for you to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ." Don't sit under the leaven, we're commanded in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Come out from among them. What's the leaven? It's what changes the seed. It's what changes the word. It's man's way of making the bread taste more palatable to the old fleshly man, right? We'll make it easier for you to swallow, basically. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So he warns you to come out from among and to cast out the old leaven from among you, right? "He that's of God hears the words of God." Well, folks, when I speak these things that are straight out of the gospel, how much of the church do you think would accept it? When I talk about the works of Jesus, Jesus said, "These signs will accompany them that believe." Jesus told us who believed. He told us who was the son of Abraham, because they believed the promises. He said, "In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues." Oh, heaven forbid. How much of the church would reject that? And the healing of the sick. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How much of the church would reject and rejects that now? If Jesus showed up right now, doing and teaching the same things he did do, which is about to happen, folks, what are they going to do? The same thing they have done. They're going to reject him, because he that's of God hears the words of God. And a remnant in these days is going to hear the word of God. And the rest are going to fight him just like these same people in John chapter 8 did. He said, "He that's of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you hear them not, because you are not of God." See, when people do not hear the word of God, it's because, in that point, they are not of God. Let's just agree with Jesus, right? We just agree with the Lord Jesus. Now, what happened to these people? Well, if you go back to Matthew chapter 13, I'll just read to you what happened to them even before Jesus came. Listen, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and he said unto them, Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. God had reprobated them. He wasn't even attempting to bring these particular Jews he's talking about into the kingdom. He had chosen a remnant, and they heard his voice, and they were following him, but the rest were not. And so he said, verse 12, For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. So, I mean, even if they did have anything towards God, they were going to lose it, because it was going to be taken away from them, because they didn't have fruit, and therefore they weren't going to receive. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. This was a curse upon them. The overwhelming majority of Judaism who did not accept Jesus, this was a curse upon them. And seeing you shall see, and in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. Now this is going to be repeated, and is being repeated in our time. They cannot hear, they cannot see. You try to share the true gospel with them, or even try to quote the word of God. They cannot receive it. They do not believe it. It's not a part of what the Pharisees have given to them, and they are not sons of God. They're sons of the Pharisees, which makes them what? A twofold more a son of hell than themselves. That's what Jesus said. How does a so-called Christian get to be a son of the devil? It's very simple. Just receive another seed than the one God sent. Is it happening all over? Who is it that's going to persecute the church? The true called out ones. Not the ones that refuse to come out. The ones that come. Who's going to persecute them? These people who've been reprobated. And in the next verse, But blessed are your eyes, for they see. He's speaking to his remnant. His elect, his chosen ones, these are the chosen ones, not the ones that have been rejected. See, much of the false church and the Pharisees have been saying all the natural Jews are the chosen people of God. Ooh, they haven't read the New Testament, because he broke off the natural Jews for their unbelief. Read it, Romans chapter 11. And he grafted in the Gentiles by faith, and he warned them that if they didn't continue to believe, they too would be broken off. Same thing basically Jesus said in John chapter 8, right? He said back in John 8, verse 47, For this cause you hear them not, because you are not of God. And chapter 10, 26, he says, But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. There are many Christians that do not believe what Jesus said here, nor when he comes this time to say the same thing, are they going to believe it now. And if I quote it to them from the Bible, they don't believe it. And if I talk to them of the works of Jesus, which Jesus said all believers would do, they don't believe it. Okay? But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. People love to quote this. People who do not believe the word of God, do not follow Jesus, love to quote this verse when they don't even know what they're saying. Listen to what he's saying. My sheep hear my voice. In other words, they accept all of the word of God. Okay? He that's of God hears the words of God, right? They accept the word of God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. To these people, it's not necessary to follow. It's just necessary to accept. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. but I continue to go down my own path. No, he says, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. These are the people that are abiding in Christ he's talking about. And he gives unto them eternal life. How about the rest of them? How about the people in John 8 that he said believed on him and were naturally sons of Abraham? He said they were sons of the devil. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Amen. Now, the unconditional eternal security people who don't believe the Word of God and don't believe in the works of Jesus, most of them, of course, in that way, they don't believe in the words of Jesus because he never taught that. You're seeing that these people who believed were rejected and didn't have eternal life. Okay? So, what's Jesus saying here? The people who are his true sheep hear his voice. They believe his word. He knows them. They follow him, and he gives to them eternal life. And we found from 1 John chapter 5 that the only people who have eternal life are those who abide in Christ. Jesus said, if you don't abide in me, you're cast forth as a branch. They're gathered up, thrown in the fire. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he says, is cut off. Well, how could you be in him? See, there are people that start out in Christ, but they don't continue in Christ. They get led astray by these religions because they don't love truth. They get led astray into one religion or another religion. They don't continue to follow the Christ of the Bible. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. Do you know people that started out as Christians, but they don't abide in the teaching and they don't even think it's necessary? The Bible says they have not God. He that abideth in the teaching hath both the Father and the Son. So you see, folks, what is wrong with this multitude of Christianity out there? It's very simple, folks. They've been led astray of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes of this day. And they're not receiving this word right here. Listen, folks, there's not one religion that followed Jesus. There were people who followed Jesus out of the religions. He came to the sheepfold, he called his by name, and he called them out. That's what the word church means, called out ones. They followed him out. If you follow the Pharisees of our day, you're going to die. You don't have eternal life. I'm going to continue this next time. I want to talk about the Eli ministry, the Saul ministry. If you follow these religions that pervert God's word, you know, this is Jesus Christ. Receive him into your heart. Repent every time you read the Word of God, which means change your mind. Accept this. Cast out your old software. Put in the new software. This is the only way Jesus is born in your soul, through your obedience to the truth of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Every other seed's corruptible. It's corrupted. Cannot bring forth Jesus Christ. Every other seed. Only this. Listen, many of you would do so much good to your soul to stay home and read your Bible. Put that word down in your heart and stop following these Pharisees who think they can deny the word of God and still go to heaven. Multitudes of people who think they are sons of Abraham and do believe in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus, remember. He just doesn't believe in him enough to repent, right? Multitudes of people who believe in Jesus, believe they're sons of Abraham, believe they have the covenant, just like the people in John chapter 8, are not going to have eternal life. Because the reason they believe the doctrines that they do is so they can continue on in the lusts of their flesh. They don't want a word from God that says, oh no, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. What's the way to do righteousness, folks? Faith in the promise of God. Faith that he took away your sins. Faith that he really took away your sins. Faith that he delivered you out of the power of darkness. Faith in the promises of God. That he bore the curse for you. You don't have to bear the curse. The Bible says he bore it for you. It takes repentance. It takes repentance every time you read this word so that you can put this incorruptible seed in you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you remember what Paul's name was? When he was among the Pharisees, his name was Saul. That's not an accident. He was a Saul minister. And yet God granted him repentance. God turned him away from that and turned him to Christ. And God gave him a new name, as he promises in the book of Revelation. He gave him Paul. And, you know, Paul led many people out of apostasy and to follow the Lord. And I think we could take some time right now to pray for not only the Pauls that are out there, the Sauls that are going to repent, and it's a small minority, I know, but the Sauls that are going to repent, but also the people that are going to hear them. We need to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're asking your grace, Lord. We desire earnestly to see men who are in bondage, in captivity to their own flesh, men who are your elect from the foundation of the world, but they're caught up in this system, along with many others who will never repent, we know. But we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, send forth your grace upon these men even now, Lord, to begin to turn them away. Let there be Nicodemuses, Lord, that come forth with honesty and truth, examining the word and seeing the power that's upon your true ministers and desiring truth. Let there be Nicodemuses that come forth and Sauls who repent and are given a new name of Paul. Lord, let those people come forth. And Lord, let them be great and mighty warriors for your kingdom. Let them bring forth, O Lord, multitudes of your people too, out from under the apostasy of Babylonish religion, Lord, and these organizations of men, Lord, that have departed from your word and are rebellious against your word and think that they know more than your word and rule over the people of God as God, these apostates, Lord. Grant repentance to those of your elect in their midst, Lord. We ask that you do this in Jesus' name, Father. We ask that you bring multitudes out even now, Lord, first fruits of those to come out of Babylon and go back to Zion, Lord. We ask that you do this in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. We're asking for a great move of your Spirit even now, even before the tribulation, even before the great shakings that come, Lord. We ask because these people need to be able to recognize, Lord, this man-child ministry. Even as many Jews couldn't recognize your ministry, Lord Jesus, in the time that you came. But some did. Some had grace. Some, like Nicodemus said, we know that you have to be a man from God with the signs that you do. Lord, let others see these things. And let them repent and let them turn to you. Father, grant repentance, O Lord, to your people. Grant repentance to those that will see the truth, O God. We just ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't desire that any of these men perish, but that they repent and turn to you. And we don't desire that the people that follow them, who are in bondage to their own flesh, perish, but they would in turn repent and follow you. And we know it's in your hands, Father, to grant repentance. Your word says you grant repentance. And we ask you to have mercy, Lord, upon them in Jesus' name, Father. Let them see the truth, hear the truth, follow the truth, eat the roll. Lord, we know that you're going to have demonstrations of your mighty power to save even people like Saul of Tarsus. And, Lord, we thank you for sending forth your mercy upon your people in the days to come. We desire to see your mercy, Lord. Lord, we're not angry with these people. We just want them to repent. And we know that the Apostle Paul desired earnestly and would have given up his own life that his people would repent. And Lord, we need that in the Sauls of our day, Lord. We need that to be seen in their lives, Lord, that they would give up their life, their desires, their position, their authority, their prestige, their money, you know, that they would turn away from these wicked things, these wicked lusts of the flesh, that they not be consumed by their own flesh in the days to come and totally reprobated. Lord, we ask your grace and your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to continue next time on the Eli ministry and the Saul ministry, that they're doing the exact same thing the Pharisees did. And everybody that follows them dies. The people that follow them die. God bless you. Keep me in prayer. Appreciate it.
information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.